Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord because of who you are. I give you praise. I love to praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And that should be our everyday job, is to worship him, is to praise him. The word of God says we was created to worship him. And God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Hallelujah. That song is very appropriate for today's lesson. Today is Bible Mystery, this Sunday, 7 p.m. This is your pastor, Carlos A. Ramos Jr., and your host, The Way, The Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. We thank the Lord for the open door. And you could call us at Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number one to speak, to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. If you have a question, comment, or testimony, and most importantly, if you have your answer to the question that we're going to pose to you today in this radio program. As we know, this radio program is it goes through the computer, international, goes worldwide. Glory be to the Lord. So if you want to write a question or comment or testimony to the church, The Way, The Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, you could write at WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. That's WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to speak to the pastor after the program is over, the phone number here is 772-626-3178. Once again, 772-626-3178. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, Jesus, we worship you. He is to be worshiped. Let me give you a little disclaimer, a little itinerary of the church. The disclaimer is that the songs that we play on this radio station, they do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. And because we bought the original CDs or DVDs in it, we have permission to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. A little itinerary of the church. Every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible Mystery, and we pose a question. And if you have come up with the answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garment of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. And I would recommend or encourage you to keep one in your Bible. Wherever you go, you carry your Bible. As a born-again Christian, you want to share the scriptures with others. But if you have an appointment and you're waiting to be called, take out your tabernacle pamphlet and study the tabernacle and the little things that are inside, the furnishings and everything like that. You have to understand the tabernacle was also known as the Tent of Meetings, where God used to speak to Moses and the people from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. And when the pillar of cloud would move, they would take down this tabernacle, the Tent of Meetings, and they would follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud stopped, glory be to the Lord, they will rebuild the tent, and they'll continue the sacrifices and the order of the ordinances that are there in the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. So it'd be very nice if you get to know the tabernacle, symbolisms in the tabernacle. So we know that the tabernacle is a type of Christ. And Paul said it best. He said, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" At one time, men used to worship God in the tabernacle, in the tent of meetings. They used to worship God, but now when we became born again Christian, when we acknowledge our sins and confess and repent from our sins, when we became born again Christian, we accepted Christ as our Lord and Spirit came within us and he dwelt in us and he sealed us until the day of redemption. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So no longer do we have to go to a tabernacle or a tent of meetings, because we could have fellowship with the Lord right here in our temple. Glory be to God. That's why Paul admonishes us that we should always be in prayer, fasting, and looking up. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer. We have several subjects that we pray for. And if you call, you'll be given a couple of the subjects so you could pray for them also and be a participant in our prayer service. Thursdays, we have our Bible study. The main subject is called What's Next? And we started our part one on what we're studying about. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is the Marriage Feast of the Lamb, part one. We did part one last Thursday. We're going to do part two on this Thursday. And then we have part three, and we'll finish off, and we'll go into a different subject. And the one thing that you have to remember, brothers and sisters, that we as born-again Christians, we live with an imminent expectation that Jesus Christ is coming for the church to take his house. So we could have the state of meal and we could have the wedding feast of the marriage of the Lamb. Glory be to the Lord. So the next thing, it could happen now. It could happen at the end of the show. It could happen at any time. Wherever God the Father wishes is the rapture of the church. Now, you might not find that word rapture in the English translation, but you'll find it in the Latin Vulgate, rapimo, which means rapture. And that's taken, rapimo, and caught up is taken from the Greek translation of that word rapture is harpazo, and it means pulling away quickly. Pull it like, I'll give you an example. Let's say you are ready to cross the street and your child begins to cross and there's a truck coming. You're going to pull them back so they don't get injured by the truck. And no matter where you grab them, in the jacket, the hair, you're going to pull them back. And that's what our puzzle is. Christ is going to pull us out. He's going to call us up out of this earth, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. Glory be to him. This is different than the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ, there's a lot of prophecies that need to be fulfilled, and he's going to be coming to the Mount of Olives. But in the rapture, we're going to meet him in the clouds. And then he's going to take it to his Father's house. So we have an imminent expectation of this event to take place next. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you could call us at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And we would encourage you and invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Another program from the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, and we're studying why will all nations mourn? That's the question. If you have an answer, you call the studio, and we will hear you, and if you're correct, the church will mail you out the beautiful accordion style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. If nobody comes up with the answer, we'll hold this lesson for another time. And we'll continue in what we have. The Lord has moved me to look into different things of the Bible. A lot of people say the Bible contradicts itself, but the Bible does not contradict itself. What the Bible does have is mysteries. And where there's a discrepancy, there is a mystery. And God wants you to study both sides of the mystery, so you get acquainted with the correct answer. And remember, we want to take everything in context. This word that we have is inspired by God himself, so we know there's no errors in the Bible. Where it seems to be an error, a contradiction, or confusion, that's us. But if we study them, if we study the mysteries of God and see what the Word of God says, because the Word identifies itself, it explains itself, and it'll teach us a lot of things that we need to learn in order for us to grow, in order for us to mature in the things of God. Paul admonishes Timothy and passes on to us. He says, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then it goes on to say that we are to take this until we become perfect in the word of God. The word perfect is the English translation of the Greek word mature. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we are to mature. We have to grow up in the things of God so we'll know. Just like you take a shower, you just don't jump in with everything on. No, you take your layers of clothes off. You take off your shirt, your T-shirt, until you're ready to get into the shower. And so that's the way the Bible is. There are layers within layers in the Bible. Glory be to the Lord. One day you'll be reading the scriptures, and you come back the next day, you can read the same scriptures, and you'll get a whole different revelation. Now we got the beam. We have the word, the Logos word, which is the written word, but we need the Rhema word, which is the revealed word, and only the Holy Spirit could give us the Rhema word, because He's the one that inspired men to write this holy word down. Because we have a holy Bible, we believe in a holy God, and His Holy Spirit is the one that inspired us to study His word in the name of His holy Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do, remember today's question, why would all nations be mourned? That's taken from Matthew. Now we're going to read Matthew in its entirety so we could keep everything in context. And then we're going to break it down and see where we come up with the answer. Hallelujah. If you have the answer, you don't have to wait till we finish. You could just call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. This is Matthew chapter 24, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Glory be to the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as you study history, you know your history, that happened in 70 AD when General Titus and his army came, and they rampaged, they tear down Jerusalem, they tear down the temple. Hallelujah. My wife and I, we went to Israel in 2016, and those rocks, those boulders are on the streets whereupon they say that Jesus walked by the temple, and we walked by them, and we took pictures of them, of those rocks that are thrown down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, you know, it starts with ourselves, brothers and sisters. We cannot allow anything to influence us, so we deceive ourselves. Like, there's a teaching out there called replacement theology. They are teaching that the church has taken the place of Israel. No, that's a false teaching. If you read the scriptures correctly, you will realize that that's a false teaching. So you don't want to be deceived. You want to follow what the Holy Spirit guides us and tell us what is the truth. Remember, the Holy Spirit continues to intercede for Jesus, since He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us every day. And one of the things is for us not to be deceived. And so that's why we are always searching the scriptures, studying the scriptures, praying, fasting, and asking God for the Rhema word and asking God to reveal his word unto us. Verse number 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, all beginnings of sorrows. And that's a quick explanation in there where it says the beginnings of sorrow. You have to remember that from Jesus came, we've been in the sorrows time. And one illustration that Jesus gave was the birth pains that a woman goes when she's with child, birth pains. You should know that a woman goes through birth pains prior to the delivery, and sometimes they're very hard, they're very long, they're very short. They come closer and closer together until she gives birth to the child. So these are the beginnings of sorrows, Jesus said, and wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and famines have been from a very long time. So you should understand that even from that time, we've been in the last days waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, what I want to admonish you is, you have to understand here in Matthew 24, the red letter, it means Jesus is speaking, but he's speaking to the Jewish people. He's not speaking to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles did not come into play until Acts chapter 2, when the church was born. When Peter spoke to Cornelius, hallelujah, when Paul spoke to the other Gentile nations. Now, we know that Jesus spoke to some Gentile people, like the centurion soldier. He was a Gentile. But remember, Jesus came and he sent out the disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. They were the first ones to hear the gospel. And if you want to know what the gospel is, you have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. That's the gospel. Hallelujah, the gospel that we should be preaching. Verse 10, then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We have a lot of young ministers, prophets, and pastors teaching that the world is going to go through a time of peace and prosperity, and everything's going to be good. That's not what the Word of God says. That is not what the Word of God says. So you have to be very careful that you don't get caught up in the lies of these false prophets. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever read it, let him be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. There shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches are yet tender and pour forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all the things, know that it is near, even at the door. Or it is near. What's near? The rapture, the coming for the church. Hallelujah. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and the day that Noah entered into the dark, until the day that Noah entered to the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you not know what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would also he would not have suffered loss, so his house will be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayed his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So my brother and sister, the question is, why would all nations mourn? And we're looking, that's found in verse 30. It says, and then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. When it says tribes, it's talking about nations, you know, your clan, your family. Why would they mourn? Well, let's look at some of the events that might occur or are predestined to occur. Why they would mourn. Number one is, it says immediately after the tribulation of those days in Matthew 24:29. So what happened? It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. So this is the end, my brothers and sisters. We tribulation beginning. The Antichrist he agrees with the covenant that's being made by Israel and all the nations. And one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, and he wants to rule the nations from Jerusalem. And he wants to sit in the holy place as he's God. But the Jewish people are not going to accept it. They're not going to accept him as being God. And he's going to bring war against Israel. And that's why we read in the scripture that says, let him that's in the city run. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Well, as you study closely, the mountains is Petra. And we know that the Antichrist will not attack Petra. And the one-third of the Jewish people will be saved. And you might say, but wait a minute, Brother Carlos, why do you say only one-third? Well, when you read Zechariah in chapter 13 and in verse 8, it says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So if we look at Israel, the nation, and we divide them into thirds, two-thirds of Israel will perish, because in the scriptures it says that these people would attack Jerusalem. Are they going to gather in Armageddon, in that area, but the fight is going to be taken to Jerusalem. And half of Jerusalem will be destroyed, the woman rape, and things are going to happen real bad. And half will not. Two-thirds of the people in Israel will die there in Jerusalem. One-third will run to Petra, and they'll be there in the rocks, and Jesus is going to rescue them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Matthew 24:29, it says, the sun shall be darkened, moon shall not give her light. So people will be in darkness. I mean, right now people are in spiritual darkness. Imagine the sun and the moon not giving them their light, or giving less light than they should. People will be in darkness, and the devil would have his ways with the people, because darkness speaks of sin. But of sin is just like in the days of Noah. People's heart was evil continuously, and God the flood. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Stars shall fall. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Matthew 24:29, and we see something is happening. What's going on that the sun is not shining, the moon is not shining, and the stars fall from heaven? You know, what's going on with all these famines and pestilence and everything that's happening to the earth at that time? Because, you know, you want to read Revelations in conjunction with these, and we know what happens when Jesus opens up the seals. You have seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and seven bowl judgments. And we have to understand where we are in the Gospels. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What sign is that? Him coming in the clouds. It tells you right there that he'll be coming in the clouds with power and great glory. He's going to come to the earth like lightning coming out of the east and shining unto the west. That's how fast it's going to take place. That's what's going to happen. He's going to come to Mount Olivet. He's going to stand on Mount Olivet. Because if you remember in the first chapter of the book of Acts, as he was ascended up to heaven, the angels there, some people don't believe those are angels. Some people believe those are mere men. But the information that they give to the apostles, I don't think mere men would have known some of the information. They might know some of it, but not all of it. But the angels would know those information regarding Jesus. They said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stare up into the heavens? This same Jesus will come back as he's left." A mere person doesn't know that he's coming back. It's hard now to get people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture and what the Word of God says. Imagine at that time when he was ascending, these two men talking to the apostles, and how would these two men know this information? Unless they were divinely sent by God. And that's what I believe, that these two men in white apron were angels manifested in the flesh as men. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then in verse 30 of Matthew 24, it says, "Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven." He's coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You have to go back to Zechariah and see what Zechariah said in these verses here to understand of the. And I'm going to read to you, because time is giving us and allow me to do it. I'm going to read to you the chapter 12, 13, and 14 of Zechariah so you could get a good understanding, and maybe you come up with the answer as to why the nations mourn. Chapter 12, verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, stretches forth the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in this siege, both against Judea and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every house with astonishment, and his rider. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an heart of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. As one mourneth for his own son, so shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrim in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn. Every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and the wives apart. Chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open, and the house of David, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. Also I cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, father, his mother that beget him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father, his mother that beget him shall trust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his visions when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is fellow with the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left thereon. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rough, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And it shall, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azor. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, nor day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And in the land shall be turn as a plain from Gibeah to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in our place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel unto the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more unto utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherein the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great turmoil from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold on everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and April in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of the Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain, no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and settle therein. In that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. Glory be to the Lord. That was Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. And it's talking about that day, the day of restoration. Israel is being restored, but the nations will be judged. Glory be to the Lord. So why do the nations mourn? If you have the answers, you could call Block Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. press number one to be connected to the studio. And if you get the answer correct, the church will mail you out a beautiful accordion-style colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have about 9 minutes to go, and we want to thank the Lord for the reading of his word. And we want to Matthew 24, Zechariah 12, 13, and 14, where we could learn about the end times after the tribulation, what's going to happen. And that's just a little touch of what's going to happen. So the question remains, why would the nations mourn? Why would they mourn? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why would the nations mourn? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, if we don't get any callers today with the answers, we don't get the right answer. Next week, we're going to ask the question, what are the seven stars and the seven candlesticks? That's a pretty easy one. If you study your scriptures, I'm not going to say where in the Bible you're going to find the answer. That should be an easy, evident one. Who are the seven stars, or what are the seven stars and the seven candlesticks? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we heard a song earlier today, Because of Who You Are, talking about Jesus. You know, we have to give an answer to the Lord one day. The gospel is, you read it, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes, he says, for I deliver unto you that which was given unto me, that Jesus Christ, that on the third day Jesus Christ died and was buried according to the scriptures, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen by the 12 disciples. He was seen by John. He was seen by Paul. A lot of witnesses of his resurrection. Glory be to the Lord. And he ascended into the heavens, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We don't know Jesus after the flesh like the disciples knew him after the flesh and spirit. We only know him after the spirit. But one day when he calls us up to the clouds, and we who are born again, we are saved, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This carnal must put on incarnality. We're going to go up to the clouds and meet him and recognize him, because we're going to be just like him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to serve with Jesus when he comes back to the earth to rescue Israel. We're going to return with him as as the army of heaven. In heaven, we are dressed up in fine linen. The wife had made herself ready. Hallelujah. And why wife? Well, in the Jewish tradition, there's a betrothal, which is engagement. And to them, when you're engaged, it's the same as being married. So that's why you will read that it says the wife had made herself ready. And Christ is coming for church, for wife. whose garment is without a spot or without a wrinkle. Glory be to the Lord. So, you know, I would encourage you to live holy and righteous God, so you're going to be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. Because there's a wrath that's coming upon this earth. But God did not appoint us to his wrath, but to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we got about 4 minutes to go. And you could call 516-418-5944. press number one to be connected to the studio. The question is, why would the nation mourn? If you have the correct answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is a time for you to think about it. The Word of God tells us tomorrow is not promised to no one. Today could be the day, the last day, your last ticket could be today. And then tomorrow you'll be called to give an account. Now, if you're in the Lord, you're going to be present with the Lord the moment you leave your body. And if you're not with the Lord, then your body's going to the grave, but you're going to be going to hell, to the underground. And, you know, that's why it's very important. The Bible says, knowing the terror of God, we compel people. So we're compelling you, if you don't know the Lord, to confess, repent of your sins, and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. So the promise is that he will write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will have eternal life. Everybody knows that beautiful verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, the power, and the kingdom, forever and ever. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this hour that we had. We ask that you bless people abundantly. We ask that people's heart will be touched by your message. We ask that your Holy Spirit will draw them to salvation. And until the next time, we just pray, Father God, that you bless them richly, Father God. Hallelujah. Find them, Lord. If they lost, find them like you find that lost sheep, Father God. So we know the angels in heaven will worship you, will praise you for one sinner that is converted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.